talk about presenting design to clients. My name is Donovan Beery. On this episode, we further the discussion. We brought back Aaron Scooby.
Aaron, how you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for the
tag team back again.
And we have bought in a ringer of all things design knowledge, Steve Gordon Jr.
What up? What up?
You
how you doing?
You have to yell from back there, dude.
Yeah.
That you need to
I want
to
be like a radio guy way in the other room, and I just scream stuff from the other side of the room.
Just sit back and do that. You know what, Steve? If that's all you wanted to bring to the table today, that'd be. I'm down.
Radio show laughter.
Wacky AM DJ.
Wait, yeah. Zip,
bing. We need a helicopter sound effect.
That's Foley. That's just my fucking mouth. Okay. So last time, as Donovan was recapping, we tried to talk about presenting to clients. We wound up kind of talking about how to set up a presentation to clients. What we should actually do today is talk about presenting work to clients. I will kick it off, and let me pose this as the question. I think at this point, an iPad, just using iPhoto, would kind of be a badass way to present. Not having an iPad, I don't know if this is the case. Has anyone tried anything like this?
I can say for certain, our good buddy Eric Hines of Honest Brothers in Colorado.
We know and love Eric Hines.
He has indeed done that. And it made me so angry because it was the one ringer that would make me want to buy an iPad outright, no debate. Holy crap, that's a great idea.
Right, and you get a high-res PDF in that, and you just, let me zoom in right here,
even
slick
better,
as shit, and just...
Even better?
And just show you.
Instead of the PDF, he loaded up and was able to do, how did he do it? He set up photo albums.
Yeah.
In iPhoto.
Exactly.
And was able to call up projects, and they each came on screen with their own icon and project name.
I feel like that would be a great effing thing.
Yeah.
I was talking to a local wedding photographer. They actually said they, right after the wedding, they load up the photos on an iPad, send it to the client, and just loan it to him for a week. Pick out the wedding photos immediately.
Also, fuck those guys.
No doubt.
Have an iPod.
No, they can loan out.
I'm just gonna ship this to you. You'll give it back, right?
That's very Michael Jordan-esque. Jordan Brand sent their newest presentation to boutiques and stores of the new Dwayne Wade shoe. James Bond style.
Did the tape explode? Tell me
it
more.
It did. In a briefcase, the iPad was somehow programmed to shut down, so they had to send it back. They didn't just get a free iPad.
Yeah. Well, that's nice. Cool. That's hot. Okay.
So I might have a logistical question on that. Probably a stupid question. Does it get passed around? Just kind of, if you have multiple clients sitting around, somebody hold it up?
I think it gets passed around. They get intimate with it.
I feel like you start off, but like, don't have photos of your dog on that iPad at that time. Like, lock that shit down.
And to the logistical question of it, it might be a good thing for independents and small studios who have fewer clients literally sitting at the table. I don't think it would be a good thing to present to corporate. That's a good question.
Now, what if I want to present my flash samples this way?
Yeah, you're boned.
Stunned silence.
Yeah.
Stunned silence.
Still frames and storyboards.
Yeah.
But also, you're still working Flash. I don't know. And Steve, that's an excellent point. It's like, I think that there are different situations you're going to find yourself presenting.
Right.
If you're, sitting, catty corner across the table from someone, it's a much different situation than if you're presenting, to a room.
Right.
Say, a dozen people. Now, Aaron, you're in straight-up advertising right now. Do you guys do, maybe we talked about this a little bit last time, do you guys rock, the blackboards with the paper overlays and the tripods and stuff? Tell us about what you guys do with that. What's your experience presenting the Mad Men style?
Easels.
Easels. Thank you.
Not easels, and we don't even do the tissue overlays. But, our owner has a very traditional approach. He likes everything mounted on board, and kind of like Donovan, I think, said last episode too.
Do you do foam core or mat board?
Or gator board, which
or
is
gator
foam
board.
Core or
oh,
crack.
Yeah. Mat board.
Mat board. Okay, good for you. Good for you. Okay, sorry. You were saying you're traditional boss.
But it depends on the media. Like it's got to be presented as close to how it would actually look. So,
right. Donovan did say that last year.
So if it's a web page, obviously, right, your layouts and mount those on the board.
David Cadvey, and you print them out the size of Donovan's giant wall calendar. That's how you show a website.
I don't think he does that.
Bicubic. No, it's nearest neighbor sampling. Just enlarge that shit as big as it goes.
He's only designing for 52-inch monitors.
Pixels as big as hands, but your website looks hot. Pixel art is beautiful. I think there's still something that can be said for that. You know, doing that kind of old-fashioned reveal, and I hope that's not dickish of me to call it old-fashioned, but there's some like industry romance to doing it that way, right?
I think or only because of Mad Men.
Romance.
The romantic part.
You think Mad Men's bringing some of that stuff back?
I think it definitely is. I think the level of consciousness for the general public and even some who are on the fringe of the creative community, those who would ask us, so what do you do? And then nod their heads confusingly. I think Mad Men has introduced a whole new realm and resurgence of the actual ad agency, because with computers, and it's kind of like with the music industry, the fact that anybody can get their hands on something that works that way, I think it made things smaller. It romanticized the small business, and I think something like Mad Men brought back the ad agency business.
Right. And, you know, speaking of Mad Men, I remember, Michael Bayrut, who will probably come up later in the show, did a great post when Mad Men Season 1 was happening about, like, the great-ass presentations, of, like, pitches of work that they give in that show. And I remember passing one back when I worked in advertising. I remember passing around a YouTube of one of those presentations, and it was just kind of linked up as, like, the perfect advertising pitch. Right. And God damn it, it was. He got up there, showed slides, he told a story, he gave meaning to the name of this product. Like, I think they were just basically naming the product at that point. I'm asking for Mad Men on DVD for Christmas, so I'll be able to give it context next time. But and I remember passing that around my office and just hearing back, you know, it's like, you gotta check it. This is how we should be presenting to clients. Like, yes, I agree. Like, why not? All the responses came back, like, from my boss, from the owner, like, yeah, but that would never work in real life. And I kind of feel like
I disagree.
Bullshit.
I think
like
it would
it
work.
Would.
Yeah, I think it would work. Even for, and I might be jumping ahead a little bit.
No, do it.
But even as an independent creative and one who has his own clients and works face-to-face, I do that. Even with some of my smaller clients, and I watch them as they sit across the table from me, or cat a corner because it's more intimate, and their eyes get huge, and I'm rolling through the pages.
Let's be honest, on your lap.
Yeah, that's true. That's a few times. I like to connect.
and that he does.
Well, yeah, I think I think clients, you know, by and large, when they're coming, they're excited. They want to be entertained. They want to be surprised. They're looking for an experience.
Yeah,
that's why they come to a professional.
I've hired a professional designer. I want whatever is going to happen in this meeting to be fucking awesome.
It's true.
Sure, there are clients out there that aren't like, I want whatever to happen and happens in this meeting to be fucking responsible. Certainly, that's a thing, too.
Yeah, so the Mad Men showing up at the drunk to everything isn't necessarily.
No, they cover
the best
that thing up, right? Like, come on, I haven't seen the whole show.
Not really. I think it's pretty well known.
Yeah.
They're also smoking at every single meeting.
So. But then again, it is a time, it is a
period
number
one, yeah, okay.
When you could, you know, slap your secretary on the ass and head off to a smoke in a meeting, and everyone goes, Mentos thumbs up on it. You know?
I feel honestly like if I could give a pitch, just smoking right there in the room, like there's some mystique that goes with that I would enjoy.
Or pour everyone a glass of scotch and then say, let's get it started. You know?
All right, dim the lights halfway, not all the way, halfway. Light it up, have a scotch. Now let's talk about your company, because they didn't call it a brand back
right
then. But you know, one of the things that I've done, I'd like to get you guys' take on. Like, I picked up on that. I try to tell a bit of a story. I'll try to lead up to why the work is going to look the way it looks when they see it. And, you know, I've done this for a couple clients, and it's worked out really well. I actually like to, I use Keynote, but I essentially like to, get a PowerPoint together and ask them if they got a projector I can hook up, show it super big on the wall, but then lead up to that work. Here's where the inspiration's come from. Here's where your market research says it's coming from, and kind of tell the story of the work before they see it, so that when they see it, they're like, oh, yes, that is what he was just telling me
about.
You
have to build context.
Right.
You have to build context.
Yes.
I enjoy that, too, because you can kind of work in some of the things that you talked about them when they mentioned, like, oh, we were looking for A, B, and C in our logo. You can kind of reiterate that you actually hit some of the key points they were looking for in the work, whether or not you did it, whether or not it's visible, and kind of work that in that we did take this into account and this is what we came up with.
Yeah, also, in my process, ahead. I like to remind them, both as a bit of a feel good, warm fuzzy, and also as a fuzzy pair of handcuffs, like gently, we're locked into this because you said so. Don't forget we talked about this. Don't forget we talked about this.
Yeah. Don't forget that this looks the way it looks because you asked me to look, make it look like, this.
No surprises. No surprises. Too tight? Too tight? No? Good.
All right, we're going to take a break on that. We'll be back in 1 minute.
I'm sorry.
That's it. We're doing another one.
Okay. Sound check / secret track. Steve.
Yes.
Explain to me, what is an 808? Is it a speaker?
It is a bass drum instrument.
It's an instrument.
Yeah, it actually used to be a keyboard called a TR-808. Back when each keyboard had its own instrument, it's the only sound it could make.
Okay.
There used to be a synthesizer called the TR-808, which was a really cheeseball-y drum sound that became popular in its second life.
Nice. Okay. That's How to Hang featuring Steve Gordon.
True.
Speaker.
So, Donovan. Well, goddamn it! Now I can't even remember what I was gonna say because we took 2 half-hour breaks. What I was gonna ask you guys is, okay, now that's in the room presenting work to the client, sitting on Steve's lap, rubbing Donovan's head.
So I was saying to the guy,
saluting Aaron Subi from across the room. There's another way that I present work to clients all the time. I'm probably not getting on mic here at all. There's another way that I present work to clients all the time. That is via the email. A lot of the work that I've been doing over the last couple months has been with people not local. You know, Florida, Georgia, other places that I'm not entirely sure of. How do you guys set, like, I'm sure we've all done that, right? I'm not crazy.
The majority of mine is.
So how do you guys set that up? What I like to do is give a, hey, dear homeboy, which is generally the salutation I use.
It's true.
Of my emails. And I'll give a brief, like, introduction that kind of says, like, hey, I've attached a PDF of some work, yada, yada, like, 2 sentences, and then out. And then if I'm on my game, I will send a PDF that has, like, you know, a grayed-up background, my logo in the corner, and some drop-shadowed boxes that then show, like, the work to kind of make, you know, kind of make it look, feel like it's on board.
Yeah.
And then maybe some text notes with it. So that they don't have to look at the PDF and then look at the email to read about the PDF and then look back at the PDF. When I'm not on my game, I say, hey, here's what I just did, and here's a JPEG. I've routinely found myself doing both, almost depending on how close to that deadline I am.
Okay, good, because I was worried that you were going to say that you prepared like this elaborate PowerPoint presentation for that, too, and sent that out.
No, okay. They click through it on their own, man.
Now, this is one of those things, when we talk about the more elaborate presentations, we normally do that. I normally do that if it's like a newer client or if it's the first project or if it's completely different than anything we've done for them before. Once we've started working for a client, we've done multiple projects, it gets a little more informal. And so then, like, when they're like, hey, we're wanting, like, the fourth piece of a campaign that's already underway, we love it, and things are on a deadline, then I don't think there's a problem with just sending JPEGs.
Well,
here's some samples.
Kind of middle of the road for that on kind of meeting both ends. I have a templated presentation that can work for both PowerPoints. It can work for just informal. And then that way I'm able to drop in iteration 3, 4, 5. Can we get a quick change and see this? Yeah, no problem. After I do the change, I'm going to drop it into something that you're familiar with. It leads off first screen, my logo, who the client is, what it's for, and even gently, what revision we're on. Remember, I've sent you 4 of these damn things already.
Yeah.
So I have it templated out so that I'm able to both look professional, but turn it around fairly quickly. And so it's kind of middle of the road for both of those, so that even the small presentations look somewhat nice. Even the big presentations are ready to go, and they have a look to them. So,
and you got that template, so it's like efficient in your workflow.
Yeah.
Anything like that happening for you? You guys don't do PDFs?
No, yeah, we have it. We have a template that we use. It's pretty similar. Just
anytime like anything goes out?
We're still talking.
Is it Yellow Pages ad? Do you just say fuck it and send a PDF with crop marks?
No, I mean, like Donovan said, that, you know, if there's a comfort level depending on the project, if it's, you know, if we're just sending a proof, then necessarily.
But right,
yeah.
Right.
If it's that, hey, we want to use the same Yellow Page ad as last year, but change these numbers, oh, just send that as a PDF. Yeah.
Right,
crop marks.
Right. Though, as a matter of fact, send it and place it. Like, here's your placement.
Here you go.
And that, we're not even going to do that unless you want me to charge you for it. Here's
If I asked you gentlemen to recount a story of the best presentation you've ever given, how many of you could answer that question off the top of your head?
I could.
Because I'm thinking about it, I'm like, oh, I should ask that, but I can't really think of what mine would be. But what you got, Steve?
Honestly, the only reason I could is because for me, if I'm progressing the right way, it's always the last one I've given.
But
I can honestly tell you which one that is. The Batch at a Time identity that I just finished.
The one that you just did not
long ago. The reason is and you know my process again, because we've talked about it, I had documents ready for her to view and archive. So once I presented them, the sort of Christmas gift of it was, I then handed it to her, and as she started to hand it back, I'm like, no, those are yours. Congratulations. Here's your brand pedigree.
Say congratulations to it. Like, yo, that's your pro tip.
Yeah, and it worked really well to be able to have that client say, that's not
that
just
my book, man.
You know, because it was the value add of, here's something that I made for you, with you, and in the psyche of that client, I wasn't telling them about their business. I was literally helping them and handing them the keys to the new car. There's that feeling of it.
I want to be Steve Gordon.
Whatever.
No, it's gonna be like seriously. Okay, get your client in a state of mind when you hand off that new logo. Ship my damn PDF. You wrap it. Remember the first iPod boxes?
Yeah.
And you would open that up, and it was like opening up a gift.
Here,
unfold that shit. Be like, congratulations, here's your new logo. And you open it, it's like shine. Maybe get like a gold medallion made of that logo.
And you know
put it there.
You know what's funny about it is I have to give props down the road through my career with things that I've learned. And the last studio stop I actually worked at was Dakey, and Greg gave me that bit of advice where we were presenting to a client, and when I was working there, we would present everything, we'd get everything wrapped up for a presentation, and then he had branded folders that he put things in. I was like, shit, that client's gonna love what you're doing, even if it was a steaming pile of shit in that wrapper, because you presented it in such a way that handed them the keys to the Porsche.
Damn!
So, props
that
to...
Worked. But what if
shouts
they,
out
but
to Greg Dakin
now,
for
what
that
do you
one.
Do if they say, yeah, some more changes.
That's, you know, that's where the template comes in. The fact that...
But if the folder's already been made.
Well, if the folder's already been made, I have a stock of them. Again, I have things that I've put together to look...
So it's a you-branded thing. You're
right.
Not, like, we're going to present you this stuff and emboss your new logo on it.
Right, well...
Which is balls out, but what if they make
a
change?
At the end result, if I've done my job, there are no surprises by the time I do hand them.
Okay.
If I've done my job,
I think we've all done our job, yes.
Right.
I feel good. Gentlemen, do you feel like we have adequately covered the topic of presenting work to clients? Is there
maybe as adequately as we're going to cover it today? You know,
do you
want to
split this up into a three-party?
I think it's an ongoing thing.
I feel like Aaron's got something.
Well,
lead it in here, bro.
One thing that I think is important is, you know, with presenting to clients, is, especially in person anyway, we kind of skipped over that, but, you know, establishing energy and keeping this momentum going. It's sort of this, you want to communicate your ideas effectively, but it's also the kind of the Costanza method where you want to leave them wanting more. Mm-hmm. And
tell me a little bit more about
it. You want to end on a crescendo.
Right.
You don't want to end on this kind of like pittered out, awkward conversation that, you know, we've all had where it's...
Paul shares her diagram of the energy of a meeting. It goes up, you present the work, everyone has a high, then some people say, I don't know if that's going to work. And you say, oh, hey, maybe that could work. And at that point, you want to leave them, and then you say, and we'll look at that, see you later.
Eddie Murphy dropped the mic style.
Some meetings can, and I think we've all been in a meeting where they just
you
you go into.
And you definitely don't want to end on a negative note.
No. Right. And God, haven't we all been in those?
Yeah.
True. I haven't been in one of those, honestly, since I left advertising, but I've been in those meetings.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Where you leave and the client is pissed or they're unhappy and, oh, you know that you got to work the next three late nights.
Well, and to that point, I think you do have to be somewhat of a ringmaster and get away from the computer. Actually, get away from the art of it and communicate with that client. It's a relationship, and you got to learn how to spin a little game on them, you know?
Yeah, and I would say don't do anything you wouldn't be comfortable with listening to either. You got to be true to how, you know, what, because you're going to come off as fake if you try to do more than what you would want to.
I'll tell you, Donovan, is there one thing that you and I know about? It is speaking without sounding fake. I don't think anyone is going to say that. Well, hopefully not. I think people did used to give us that critique, like, these guys are just making shit up. Like, no, this is pretty much. But yeah, you certainly. Yeah, we could talk about public speaking a little bit. Like, yeah, don't sugarcoat. And geez, like, if there's a ringleader for this,
and it's never
it's
bad.
Steve,
it's
don't
not,
sugarcoat your own personality in that in that presentation.
No, you got to be yourself. Yeah. You got to inspire confidence.
And you want to be the designer.
If there's
that can do
anything
that
I've worked on really, really hard throughout my career, it's that one thing.
And because, hiding that wicked Southern accent. Of
yours. Yeah. Because I say this a lot. I've been the first, and I will always be the first to admit that with all the talent in the world, I am not, as much as I'd love to think so, I can't say that I'm going to be the best designer ever. But in selling my ideas, I do feel confident in saying that there are very few who will talk to their client and connect the way I can.
Yeah, and that's I've been thinking about stuff like that too. I feel confident. That's one of the reasons I wanted, you know, to get everyone together to talk about this stuff. I feel confident in my presentations. My presentations, since I've been out on my own, have gone better than they were when I didn't get to decide the content of those presentations.
Because you didn't believe in it that way.
Well, no, right. and that's one of the tricks is if you're in someone else's system, is hopefully finding yourself in a system that you can get behind, even if it's. Not the system that you would want ideally to present your work in. If it's someone else's system, and that's your gig, then you kind of have to be able to get behind that. You have to be able to see where their strategy is, and if there's room for you to add your own voice to that, just you know.
And then
you got a boss where you know they're gonna listen to you so that other people can listen to you.
Yeah,
and it's never bad to. Tell the client if they ask questions to tell them we'll get back to you on that or we don't on those things.
Let me write that down. I'm gonna get back to you. Oh, no shit, Donovan Berry. Yeah, you.
Or even
don't
give
just make up
props
stuff
for,
that you don't really know the answer to. Yeah.
Like let me check that out for you. That impresses people more than fumbling over a bullshit answer.
Yeah, or that certainly impresses people a lot more than being a yes man.
Mm-hmm.
Which and that's one of the things. And I've worked with really great account people. I've worked with account people that I feel are not so great, and the great ones would always kind of defer to, you know, let me check with the rest of the team versus, yes, we will do whatever you want us to do right now.
I just wrote about that on my site, and I've been kind of following my progress with finding a tailor for some jeans, and I swear this is on topic. The tailor that I went to, and I found him, and the last thing he said to me before I leave, To quell my expectations of what's going to happen, he looked at me and said, I'm not going to promise you I can do that with those jeans. That I'll do the best I can, but what you're asking is perhaps outside the realm of true possibility. When I came back...
You told me about these jeans,
when
Steve.
When I came back...
Jesus!
When I came back to pick him up, he had done what I wanted, but he tempered my expectations.
Do they have a TV in them? Tell me about these jeans.
They actually do. We're actually in my jeans right now.
on that note,
these
we'll
jeans
be right
are
back.
Amazing. They're perfectly tailored.
Sum that up pretty well. I feel like we got a pretty good two-part out of that. So, Donovan, it's time to start this week's show. Hi, I'm Nate Foss. Welcome to the Reflex Blue
Show.
I'm
Donovan Berry.
Our special guest today, Aaron Stubbe.
Hola.
Oh, yeah, he's there. and, of course, Steve Gordon.
What's up?
Hey! Hey guys, that was a pretty good time. Steve, is that a second tattoo? Is that a new one?
Oh,
or has
that been there? It is a new one. Brand new. I actually, it's a typeface, and then I altered some of it. It says Serenity, Courage, and Wisdom.
What typeface? Is that
It started out as Sloop.
Sloop?
And then I altered all of the capitals and all of the descenders.
Nah. Where do people go to get Sloop?
Where do they go to get
Sloop? Was it 101freefonts.com or is it like Veer?
I think it's Veer.
Oh, kick ass. Okay. Yeah. So it's legit. It looks good. Yeah. It's that's gonna play. Okay, so hey, fellas, let's do what are we designing? And let's see, Donovan, I feel like we could get a little like background intro music, so maybe I'll try to cook something up for that. Like a little what are you designing?
Just do the Inception sound.
There you go.
Okay, what are you designing? All right, Steve, what you been up to?
Honestly, currently working on my own line of gear for Ridiculous and looking at hopefully rolling out some things by spring for accessories, dry goods, and cloth and such.
We're going last with you next time, Steve.
What have you learned during this process so far? Like, what's been different than anything else you've done?
Oh, my goodness. Tons of it. A lot of the production of it is different than print or even web. And as far as output, you're looking at dealing with dry goods, dealing with cloth, dealing with the print process of screen printing and all that. There's a lot of different things that go into it that really took me back, and the quantity breakdowns and what they can and can't do, how they handle inks. They can match Pantones. That's the least of their worries. But it's more about, well, that fabric's going to literally bleed through your ink. Your whites are going to turn pink. You don't want to do that. When they take your file to do embroidery, there's actually a conversion for the file type.
Yes, there is.
And that actually is a totally different process. And then also just down to what plays and what doesn't. You have to, your clothing line or your accessories, they're communicating to people. And so the messaging is actually different. You have to think about, you know, what you're saying by word of mouth actually plays different on cloth when people are wearing it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, you have to take a lot of different things into account.
Can we get a big, like, Tracy Jordan style, ridiculous?
Hell yeah, actually.
Like, diamond ass thing.
That, oh my God.
Like, fucking like this big.
Okay, I want us to seriously be recording when I pull this up and show you what's coming. So okay. Everybody continue, okay. But okay. I want Nate's reaction
all right.
On tape.
But I was going to say, because I feel you on this. I have done ties. I've done two ties.
Mm.
And the first one was garbage because they were like, we have to use the company colors, which were red, white, and yeah, like Crayola colors. And the second year around, I was like, okay, I'll do this tie again. They want to update last year's design, but you got to let me pick the colors. And they were like, oh, it's a shirt. I thought you were going to show me a necklace, bro. Oh, okay. Man, that's beautiful.
This is in your viewer now. Take a look.
I love it.
Yeah.
He'll send it on. Okay. But anyway, what was great about that project was I picked colors that were relevant to fashion and not graphic design.
Which
is
leading edge.
Yeah, which is where you got to be. And yep. I was like, okay, I need to find places where someone can give me information about what colors are hot. And they're like, no one's ever going to pick this at this, like, Fortune 500 super traditional company. No one is going to pick a tie that is like periwinkle blue and pink. And yo, they picked that tie.
Yep.
Because I did my research. Yep. But where it got really different for me was when we started talking with the people that were producing them. I was like, well, yeah, it's just this Pantone color and that Pantone color. And they're like, yeah, dude, that's great. We need to pick thread.
Yep.
Like, they were like, it's not like matching colors. It's like, yo, they got thread. They're gonna hold it up to a printout and say, I guess.
Yeah, close.
and that was like a completely like it as it's not that different, but it was different enough that it just like really broke my mind working on that project.
Or even when you print something, how it's gonna bend around the body and how it's gonna sit on someone's head, and it literally changes the shape of what you've designed flat. And it could look completely idiotic when someone has it on their body.
It's, assuming we get to talk to the Threadless guys in Chicago, which we are. Hey, Mig, we're going to try to do that.
Get on it, Mig.
That would be something I would love to talk to them
about.
Oh,
yeah. It's interesting.
Okay, hey, Donovan, Barry, what are you
going last? Because I brought props.
Oh!
Okay. I got to go dig them up.
That's Aaron, no fair.
Why don't you go dig up your props and I'll talk to Aaron.
Yeah. Hey, Stubby, how about you talk about what's coming with no props?
Why don't you talk about your direct mail?
Show me your propless design.
That's all I really have to talk about.
Okay, tell me about, like, you're doing direct mail right now, but what are you doing? Fold over? Trifold? Is it a three-panel? Or is it a trifold that actually has four panels?
And we're not even making fun. This is real talk.
Unfortunately, this time around, nothing really... all that exciting.
6x9 or 5x7?
6x9.
Fuck yeah. Well, at least you got some real estate, right?
And then, of course, you know, there was other collateral, too. You know, there's...
How much? Is it a postcard?
There's a postcard.
How much do you...
Freestanding inserts, web ads, and...
Nice. Nice.
Splash page.
Campaign? So, all campaign?
Yeah, whole
huh?
campaign.
On the back of a 6x9, how much of that real estate do you take up with content, and how much of it do you leave for mailing?
Oh, it's the mailing, you know, we try and get as minimal as possible.
Yep.
Yep. Do you send it to the post office to... Now, hey, here's a question. Woman who we know at the post office, who I'm assuming we all send things to, is that a local thing, or does she do that for, like, the nation?
You know what's funny?
I think you know what I'm talking about,
I do, and I have some insight on that. I think it's local, but when I was working at First National to help her out, we actually built our own system so that we didn't have to send it off.
So Todd, you have a little template you can put things up on.
Yeah, so Todd Boswell and I, even down to the digital read, the binary read at the bottom, we knew how to place those for the numbers.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, it was kind of it was an antiqued skill that was going out of style, but it was fun to know how to read that digitized little tick mark at the bottom.
I would love to, because I don't want to call her out by name on the show. You know, because I've, you know, everyone's, oh, that's who I sent things
regional.
To at the post office.
There you go.
I think it rhymes with.
I think so.
Yeah, it rhymes.
Yeah. Because I had to look it up one time, and you can actually go on the post office website, which is not easy to navigate.
No.
Not even to track a package. You can locate who to talk to based on where
you are.
Well,
that's nice. But I'll tell you what, snappy replies and just absolute politeness. Big love to our regional contact.
Big
love. Post office. You know whose website is awesome? IRS.
Really?
Like when you go for like forms and fill in and instructions out of like around tax time.
Oh, they got to you, huh?
I love that website.
They got something on him. He's now towing the line.
They're all PDFs that you can enter data directly into.
Wow.
I do my own taxes. It's the bomb.
That's dope.
Like, it's super easy to search for forms.
That's dope.
Yeah. Anyway.
I do have one thing I'm looking forward to that we haven't started yet.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
what's
that? It's designing a mascot costume for one of the athletic clubs.
You win. Oh, my God, you win.
Fine, I will, instead of slapping you on the leg, I will high-five you.
We'll see.
I'm going to give you a good game.
I hope
really.
The budget gets approved.
Can I tell you, I love that we get to talk about things like this, because once in my youth, at my first job, I was able to design a mascot. And when it came out, the other end, it looked like an alien. It was not supposed to. It was supposed to look like a person. So, I hadn't thought about this thing in years, Stubby.
You'll have to let me know about all the pitfalls.
The only pitfall is stay in constant contact and get approvals with the manufacturer. They took a circle head and turned it into almost like Stewie Griffin, and like it was messed up.
Wow.
It was a decent effort, but yo, it didn't work out. So just stay on top of that. Stay in touch with them. Don't be shy about saying, I feel like we could make this bit a bit rounder. I feel like we could do this, and asking them what that would take. That's my only advice there.
That's awesome. I want to design a mascot.
Yep. You know, I was just talking to people yesterday, some young kids who were getting ready to graduate, some friends that some peeps, you know.
I heard that was a good meeting.
It was. I came super late to it because I thought it was an evening thing, and it turned out to be one in the afternoon. But we went out after that, and we talked, and they were like, do you pick, you know, they were asking questions because they're getting ready to graduate. They're like, do you pick based your projects based on, like, financial needs, or do you pick them based on like what you want to design. I'm like, yo, I've been doing this for 10 years. I've designed just about everything. Right. So I'm not like, oh, I really want to do a billboard. Right. I better go after billboard clients because, yo, the audience of billboards, I don't care anymore. But there are still things out there that you can get excited about.
Yeah.
Like a damn mascot or Steve's freaking jeans or... But we all get excited about Steve's jeans.
I knew it was coming, and I'm going to stop fighting it.
Donovan, are you ready to tell us? You got props? It looks like you got a scrap of paper, bro.
It's covering the props.
Oh, okay. He's doing a reveal.
Oh, a reveal.
Did you mount it to port?
No.
Should we get an iPad?
No, these are...
How are you presenting to your client?
These are going to be presented as finished product. I finished these up after Nate got here and before you guys got here today. I don't know if you noticed my printing stuff or not.
Yeah.
But there, so I printed off just enough for the first part. I'm still in process. It's new. But 6 years ago, I realized I'm a designer. I can't be buying holiday cards.
Good call.
So I got to be making them.
Yeah.
So
that's what separates legitimate business owners from freelancers. I didn't do cards.
I did.
God damn it.
Well, these aren't for my company. These are personal.
Oh, okay. What you got?
So if anybody, if any listener,
yeah, I love it.
If any listener out there wants one, email me your address. I'll send you one. I've got some extras. This is to Nate and Stephanie Voss.
Oh, hooray! You want to mail this is to me, you cheap bastard?
Mr. Steve Gordon Jr.
Nice.
Didn't want to misspell Tanya's name. And this is to that Stubby family.
Thank you.
So
awesome.
Are you going to blow these up to 6x9? How are you going to compete with Stewie?
No, those are postcards.
Nice.
4 on a sheet, 3.5 by 5.
Awesome work.
You know what you're doing. You know you're maxing out that sheet.
That is
I love the call out on the back.
Printing these things for
I love the number key.
Yeah, the number key on the back.
You can see it in your screen.
That's key. That's key.
You can see it in your screen. Otherwise, as I said, send me your address before, like, I don't know, January 15th, because then I'll quit printing them.
Yeah, go to my site because I'll post this up with my card that Donovan, because that's a great idea, Donovan.
Yeah, it's not in the budget this year. You know, the budget's working up to. So anyway,
you know what you do is you design it, you send it as a PDF, and you tell them because of the economy, you print your card.
Shit.
Actually, only because I did that last year.
Well,
dude, see, I'm gonna take that, dude.
I had the paper in office. This year, I didn't order paper. Normally, I do, but I had some good paper I was gonna use.
Yeah.
And we go postcards, stamps are less. Nice.
Give a shout out to Jamie Saunders over at Nina because my card will be on Nina.
Love it. Okay, is it my turn?
That's I also can, once again, it's a yearly excuse to get the data merge features in InDesign back in the top of your head.
Nice.
When you're exporting your list, so you can print those on there.
Speaking of deep-ass features in InDesign, I am designing an ebook for the first time.
Really?
I'm looking forward to it. Now, it's not specifically like e-reader, like novel style, which you set up in a slightly different format. It's a little bit closer to straight PDF style.
That's what
But I still have to get into this is the first time like I've used the book feature set in InDesign, which is almost a completely different way of laying things out.
Yeah.
So I like totally downloaded different. Like the instruction, like the InDesign, like the Adobe, like what's new in e-publishing in InDesign CS5. And so I'm checking those features out. It seems really intuitive.
I've seen that happen recently. I worked on the titles for an ebook, not necessarily the reader. And again, totally different medium.
Can you get 100 Habits of Highly Successful Freelance Graphic Designers in ebook form?
I think you can.
Fuck yes. Okay, I should get something besides my iPod. My iPod that can read ebook.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
That would suck to read that book that tiny.
It would. It would.
That's also a book that begs to be viewed large.
When working on the titles, the fact that not all of the screens can handle the color red. When they go black and white, the color red washes out. And makes the design suck. So, all of those things come into play.
I'm heavy in orange.
Yeah, that you might want to double check and at least make sure. It's not because of the color, it's because of the contrast.
All right.
You need to talk to Dr. Terry Collier, is it? Over at 3M. He'll set you up.
Oh, is Terry going to have
Terry.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Man, I hope Terry shows up at the conference again.
He's got all the answers.
He's a goddamn genius. So anyway, so ebook, I just got the content.
Nice.
Got the layout approved, did some, I almost call them spec pages, but they were not spec. Some example spreads to get it rolling, even though there's no spreads because it's not being printed.
You bring up an interesting thing. Caveat, tangent. The word spec in terms of specifications is not a bad word.
Yeah, no, it's not. No.
But... So send me the specs on this.
Yeah. Fuck you. I don't send spec
work. I know, yeah. I don't do spec work. Specifications, no,
I need to know how big it is. No, fuck you, man.
I don't do spec.
I'm a legitimate designer. God damn it.
You brought up an interesting thing. Oh, sorry, go. Continue.
Anyway, no, that's basically all I got. So I'm starting that process. I'm going to work on that through the holidays, probably finish it up next. The next time we do a show, I might be saying, yo... Yeah, this ebook's getting rough, but for right now, I'm super pumped. And also, you might have seen me working on this a little bit, working on a wall decal for myself for some future
dopeness
walls that hopefully might be in future dopeness in 2011. So anyway, so that's what I'm designing. I guess we heard from everybody. So how about we break this one last time? Then I really want to talk to Steve about that Big Ten logo.
Indeed, I want to kick it.
Check your viewer screen. We got a logo there.
Okay.
Check it. You see that?
Ha! The intro.
That is what I call the Big Ten, Ten, Big...
Oh! The Big Ten, Ten, Ten. The Big Ten, the Big One, Ten, Ten. Ten.
The B10, Big Ten, Ten.
There we go. The B10, Big Ten, Ten.
The Big Ten, Big Ten, Ten logo. See, watch this. It's a B10.
B10.
It's a big.
It's a Big Ten.
It's a Big Ten.
Big Ten, Ten.
And it's a Big Ten, Ten.
Woo!
Okay, so this logo for the...
And a B10, Ten, Ten, Big Ten, Ten.
God, was it the B10, Big Ten, Ten.
You freaking eat it.
The Big Ten, B10, Ten.
No, the B10, the B, is it Big First
it's
or B
the Big Ten, B10, Ten.
Right.
No, I feel like you read B10 first. I feel like it's the B10, Big Ten, Ten.
Oh, that's a good one, too.
The B10, Big Ten, Ten.
I think that has as many variations as the logo.
For those of you not following, the Big Ten is actually 12
athletic departments of different
not
colleges.
To be confused with the Big 12, which is 10 athletic departments starting next year.
Dude, fucking really? Yes.
And not to be confused with the Pac-10, who's actually either losing and or gaining one. So their 10 doesn't make sense.
No, the Big 12
either.
Has 10 and the Big 10 has 12.
Once Nebraska moves
fuck
over, they
college sports.
Right. Yeah.
The Pac-10 is gaining one.
Pac-10 is gaining one, so they will be the Pac-11 10.
Now, this is why I don't follow sports. The old Big Ten logo had a hidden 11 in there, as you can see in the screen.
It did.
And let's be honest, that is a dated ass logo.
The Big 10-11.
Yeah.
The Big 11-10, whatever you call it, in 1990. So that
would be 20 years ago. That logo would have been hot. And it was, I remember
Big 10 plus one.
Big 10 plus one. I get that.
I was like, you guys. Oh, you clever
this
boys.
Maybe this is kind of a local thing, but, you know, because we're local to the Huskers.
And at Nebraska. The time, we hated Big 10 because we were Big 12.
Right. And now that, you know,
Big
that
8
team
even
is
at
joining,
that point.
So this
we
affects us. There's been a lot of conversation going around. I feel like I'm the only one stepping up to defend this mark. I feel like there's a lot of hate going around for this mark that, frankly, is undeserved. That's my point of view on it, Steve.
True.
Now here's the caveat. It said it's Big Ten.
Right.
The big spells Big Ten. If you look at it, you know, it's got the 10 hidden.
Right.
In air quotes. And there's a version that is just that most people would call the design savvy version.
Right.
That a lot of people like to say they are presuming is the design as intended.
I would call that the Big Ten logo.
And okay. That is the one that I have the most problem with. Strangely,
really?
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
the stacked one.
No, not the
there's
stacked
the
one.
Second version that is stacked with the word 10 that says the B10,
right.
Big 10, 10.
Which I don't think is fantastic. The Big 10 with the 10 inside and the G and the...
Like,
I think
really, that's the one you have the problem with?
Yes, and here's why.
God.
Because it's tending toward the air quotes clever... And I cannot make a zero out of that damn G, no matter how clever my brain tries
to
work.
This is what you were telling me right before the show.
Right. Because I keep seeing the little, indent tail of the G that forms the G out of, and, you know, I cannot in my head separate the visual of seeing big, or I have to switch that off and see 1-0. Mm-hmm. I think it could have been handled in a way that maybe even shortening that so it didn't jut so far into the mm-hmm. G, so that you do get that clever wash of
1-0.
Exactly. That's what I can't
let me ask you a question, though. When you see the Nike logo, when you see the Apple logo,
right?
It doesn't say Apple, but do you hear the word Apple in your head when you see that logo?
Yes.
Okay. Is it possible?
No, it used to say Apple.
It did used to say Apple.
Yeah, it did. Nike used to say Nike, and now they kind of have more than one option for that. But you know, it's almost like the B10 Big Ten lockup, which is a word that has entered my vocabulary in the past 7 days. It almost feels like that's almost more of a graphic mark than a word and number combination that needs to be read. Isn't it more about seeing that and memorizing that it represents Big Ten, and then just hearing Big Ten in your mind?
But here's my rebuttal to that would be, you're talking about Apple, a company that has had how many years to get to the point where you hear Apple just by seeing the mark?
Yes.
And also, it's a stronger graphic representation of an apple versus a G.
Okay, well, you've got me there.
What they should have done is maybe Helvetica Bold 185 Red.
I've been waiting for this all day.
Just putting the number 10.
I woke and up just this morning and was sure, like, at some point this is happening.
And just making sure that the number 10 is always four times bigger than anything
else
next to.
Honestly, you jest, but I would have loved to have seen a Big Ten mark that was just a gigantic fucking 10 everywhere you go.
Right.
And then it's
just in the style guide that it is always too big for whatever it's on.
And then you assume the word big, like you're saying.
It always crops on at least two sides.
Exactly. So then you're assuming the word big.
He was like, yeah, fucking done.
I'm just trying the whole football field. You know,
trying to
the whole thing.
There's
I'm
no trying to lies. Think of any other ownership of 10. Does anyone else have 10?
Pack 10.
Well, not just sports. Does a brand own 10?
I don't think.
Well, is 10 an ownable idea? Probably not.
Probably not.
Yeah, going back to decimal days.
But here's the thing, and I want to actually.
Dewey owns the 10.
I want to. Ben 10, the cartoon. No.
Who owns the X?
Apple.
Malcolm?
They do.
Malcolm owned it for a while there.
Yeah, he did.
Then Apple. Obviously, Mega Man.
I love that Malcolm gave the X to Apple.
X-Men?
Like, I'm done with it.
Yeah, maybe X-Men.
I'm kind of dead.
X-Men
you
when X2
it.
Came out. But here's the thing I really want to ask you guys about. I really want to talk about this because it's starting to bother me. After Gap reversed its decision, everyone kind of cheered. Now, let's face it. That Gap logo is not a logo that
anyone
should
have
talked.
Well, it started with
Tropicana. It had balls in his mouth.
And Donovan's right. It absolutely started with...
It was Pepsi.
Tropicana. Well...
Pepsi didn't reverse their decision, but they caught enough backlash.
Well, and the backlash is warranted, but they stuck to their guns.
True.
London 2012, which gave people seizures, the same logo. They stuck to their guns.
Yeah.
Tropicana reversed their design direction because they got negative feedback. Gap reversed their design direction because they got negative feedback.
Well, also, Gap's was a spec, wasn't it? They were crowdsourcing.
No, it was their agency.
Oh, I thought they... Okay, I thought some of the...
They turned it in. they asked their constituents online to submit their own thing.
See, and I think that's
turned out
where
to be a joke.
Which turned out to be a joke.
Okay.
But it's the, you know, the multi-million-dollar redesign of a brand followed by someone online not liking it and the company not sticking to their guns, or perhaps the design team behind it not arming that company to stand behind the work. And What happens to the integrity of the design profession if someone can pay hundreds of thousands of dollars for a brand refresh, get a little nasty feedback, and decide, let's go back to the one? Here's my guess on this.
My guess is with the Big Ten, it's for sports organizations, I mean college, even if it's college sports. Oh, they're used to negative feedback. They know how to ignore it.
Well, I'm not talking specifically about the Big Ten logo now. I'm just talking about company's getting really bad feedback. Because I've heard people say, and I've read things online, I can't wait till they pull a Gap and switch back to their old logo.
It's a valid concern because you go on any, I mean, anytime I'm on brand new, there's always, no matter how strong I think a mark is, you've got several negative comments.
You know what I think it is? I don't even think it's the general public. I think it's places like Brand New who will marquee and display and literally march it into the ring for the lions to devour.
Yeah,
it has nothing to do with the general public, because I was talking to someone about this the other day. The public has always had opinions, and those opinions are now more widely seen and known because of the internet and the interconnectivity. However, it's the design profession shooting its own self in the damn groin, because we march these things into the general arena and say, are you not entertained? And we lead them to be devoured.
Right.
And I don't think that that's a good thing all the time.
I think it's a terrible thing.
Yeah.
I think cooks in the kitchen on a grander scale.
Not only that, you're begging for it. I rarely see a mark on Brand New that's being lauded or lofted up to be given good props. I see it always as something to be bled out in public.
I feel like so much of the stuff, and really, I respect the crap out of Armin Vitt and what he does for graphic design with his bevy of websites over there. But the comment, and honestly, if you just read the articles on Brand New, it's just like, yo, here's the work.
Right.
And then there's a little survey. What do you think? But the comments are like a goddamn cesspool of catty graphic designers tearing down work that they didn't do.
And that's what I want to get back to also in terms of what does it do for the design profession. Again, I think it's a bunch of posers, and I'm sorry, but I think that's the case.
There's a bunch. There was a saint on there.
If you
want to
say otherwise,
logo.
Leave comments at 36point.com.
There was a dude on there that was like, I could come up with something better, and I just did. There was a saint of a commenter that followed that in his communication ability that just said, hey, we all appreciate the effort, but your idea is not better.
Yeah, because I read another one with the Comedy Central mark.
Yeah, Comedy Central's got a new mark.
And as I went down through the comments, someone brought up, hey, I think we've seen this before. And directly after that, someone said, I wish you would stop bringing up marks that are perhaps maybe just a little bit inspirational.
There's always that guy.
Right. There's always that guy that says, oh, you copied that. I was like, things
are links to what?
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that
not like the Quark logo from a couple years back, then you don't need to do that.
And I think that happens more times than not. So it literally is this band of pretenders who can't wait to kill a mark, but they won't show their own fucking work to save their lives.
Well, and that's the other thing, is that we aren't, you know, at least the people that are on this show and the people that I know that listen to the show, we aren't the people that get the phone call to do the Big Ten Conference.
Right.
And that's where we're at. And maybe someday we won't be there. We'll be higher or lower, or we'll be where we are. But until you're in those meetings dealing with those budgets and those stakes, you don't know.
Yeah.
And you even don't know that Michael Bayrou didn't put 10 under that low. A lot of people say, there's no way he did. But Michael Bayrou is a salesman almost first and foremost at this point.
And even in our back and forths, I even mentioned that. I'm like, they could have left something on the cutting room floor that was brilliant. We've all had those clients that just...
Absolutely.
You don't get your best work to the public because of the process.
Right. And I feel like, I feel like it's becoming the worst sort of armchair quarterbacking.
Yeah.
And if it continues to a degree, football.
Football reference.
Oh!
High fives.
Fives all around. Sorry.
No, I love it. Come back. I feel like if it constantly reaches that fervor where a company questions its investment in graphic design, I feel like we are doing an incredible amount of damage to the integrity of our profession.
There's some other things.
Us doing it.
Yeah, and there's some other things that go along with it, though, also. Like, I don't see them changing the Big Ten mark at all, partially because I know Pentagram can stand behind their work. With the Pepsi logo, That Pepsi, kudos to them for sticking with it, but I saw the document that was a bunch of bloated,
bloated bullshit. That fucking
And also, and people don't buy Big Ten; they buy their individual sports. Right. Big Ten's like a holding company. Right.
Exactly. If I love that Pepsi, USB drive, and I want one of those.
If the new Pepsi logo was for the Pepsi Corporation, which they have their own logo, no one would care.
Right.
Do you even know what the Pepsi Corporation logo looks like?
I know what the Coca-Cola Corporation logo is like, and it's hot.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
It was the retail product of it.
Yeah. But it's something that has come to light for me this week. Everyone, harping on this and harping on Comedy Central and with everything that happened with the Gap. I mean, I despise the London 2012 logo, most people and people who suffer from seizures. Seriously. But I have respect for them, and I feel like they have integrity for staying behind it. I have lost respect for Gap as someone who purveys graphic design. Because either they didn't have it in them to stand behind their shitty new mark, or their agency didn't empower them to stand behind.
You know what
their
I lost?
Mark.
Respect.
I don't know which one it was.
I lost respect for Gap at this point, and perhaps for even their agency who was attempting to change it. The initial Gap logo, or the one that we got used to. Excuse me, I'll back up. The initial Gap logo is closer to the one that everybody hated. Most people don't remember Gap when it was selling Levi's. Back in San Francisco, and they had a gigantic Helvetica G-A-P, and it was lowercase, almost like what they were attempting to go back to.
Son of a bitch.
So it was a legacy mark that they were actually trying to get back to.
God damn, you learn something every day.
Yeah. And the only reason I remember is because I remember shopping at the Gap and seeing some stuff on their old bags, and it was a lowercase G-A-P, and then they moved to this mark with the blue square.
The 90s-est of 90s
right,
logos.
Yeah. Right, and my thing is, where I lost respect is, if you weren't going to attempt to do something better with it, an agency also has to be willing to say, fuck it, we're going to leave it alone. It's not broken. Perhaps we can wrap some marketing around it. Maybe we can change some of your branding below that mark, but it's recognizable. If we're not going to come up with something better, we need to find out how to help you. And a lot of times in this remix-minded society, everybody wants to, I can change that. I can make that better. I can make that better.
And you know what? I don't think there's anything wrong with a hungry-ass design team that just is like, yes. Like, okay, if I was on the design team working at Gap and they said, hey, we're thinking about redoing our logo, I would say, fuck it, we're doing it.
Right.
And I would hope that we would not get ourselves in a position where we're showing a logo like the one that was ultimately picked.
And I think I attribute it to like cars or something else. I usually, when I try and think about this, I take myself out of design and I think to myself, if someone came to me and said, Steve, we want you to put your ridiculous spin on a Ferrari, I would say, fuck you, leave it alone.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Or put graphics.
Put my logo on the horse's head because it's a crown.
Donovan, I cannot remember the last time we did an hour long show.
Well, it's this time. So we'll see you guys in a couple weeks. Actually, we might take a week off for the holiday. Who knows?
We are definitely taking the holidays off.
We'll see you sometime in January.
Aaron Stubbe, thank you for the return trip. Hope you had a good time.
I did. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate the points of view. Steve Ford.
High five me in front of the mic. Nice.
Pleasure as always.
Hey, Steve.
Jokes.
All day.
Thanks, bro. And Donovan, thank you as always. Happy holidays to everyone listening. And let's take it out, bro. Since there are four of us, let's all be very cognizant of when we're deciding to speak over someone else as opposed to letting them finish and then speak.
You're telling us that.
Yes, dick.
Damn it. Is that
you interrupt me every
is
time
that
I say
recorded?
Anything on this
Please
show.
Say that was recorded.
Yeah.
I can't finish a goddamn thought on this show.
It's because your thoughts
years.
Are 47 minutes long and we'd only have time for one thought.
He talks over his own thoughts. He's the only person I know that can do that.
We recorded that, right? That's beautiful.
So
we will really need to crowd in around this. So lean it up in Steven's.
This mouse isn't connected to anything, is it?
How'd you guys do the Super Bowl show?
Kind of.
One mic.
We had two several mics. Oh, okay. You were invited to that, by the way. So were you. We need to schedule it up, but we're
okay. I think we're going to start this one with a recap of the last one, like, you know.
Oh, have we been? We can't publish all of that, right?
Well, yeah, probably not.
Hey, welcome to the Reflex Blue Show, Donovan. Barry, what is up?